But we've learned so many things over this last year, haven't we? Some wonderful things, some tough things. Lots of things have taken place. I mean, you think about the economy drop and mergers. I mean, mergers everywhere. I think I heard UPS and FedEx are going to merge, and they're just going to call it FedUps.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. As we wrap up another year, Pastor Wayne would like to take some of the lessons that we've learned this past year and help us apply them to next year. Here he is with a message entitled, The Final Exam.
How many of you would say, I learned something over this last year? Indeed, yeah. I think the most practical lessons learned, though, was found in a little children's book, grade school children telling what they learned. And it's quite amusing, these stories. Let me read a few of them for you. Here's Michael, 14 years old. He says this, well, I learned this last year that when your mom is really mad at you and asks, do I look stupid? Don't answer that. Here's Annie. She's 12 years old. I learned this last year that you should never tell your mom that her diet isn't working. Here's a little boy. Amir is his name. 9 years old. I learned this last year that you cannot hide your broccoli in a glass of milk because it shows through. Naomi's 9 years old, and I think she's going to be a future negotiator for the USA because she writes, I learned this last year that if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. That's pretty good. I like little Lauren, 8 years old. I learned that felt tip markers do not work well for lipstick. That'll take her a year to get that stuff off. Here's one that's real practical. Joel, 10 years old. I learned never pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. And Kyoko, 9 years old. She learned this from experience, I think. Never start the vacuum cleaner when you're holding onto your cat at the same time. But you know what? Though we've learned a lot, what I found is not that we haven't learned because we have. It's that we forget. We just forget the lessons God teaches us along the way. And we have to run into the same wall again. And we think, oh, man, because it's not that we've not learned. We just so quickly forget. I don't know if time is passing so quickly or if it's just an age thing, but we're prone to forget. I was reading this humorous little story. It's a story of two men in a retirement village. And sitting in the reading room, one of the older men says to the other, hey, how do you really feel? You're 72 years old now. How do you really feel? And the other man turned slowly and replied, honestly? I'm like a newborn baby. He said, look at me. I've got no hair, no teeth, and I just wet myself. You're only as old as you feel. But we do learn. But as I said, at like age, time goes by and we seem to forget. Things that we've learned, we forget. And we need to be reminded of that. In fact, did you know that growth, and you can write this in your notes right at the top, growth comes from not only new truth, but it also comes as well from old truths renewed. Growth comes from new truth as well as old truths renewed. Because you see, you've got to be, and I've got to be reminded again and again. That's just how we grow. That's the kingdom of God. There's going to be times you'll be seated here in New Hope and you're going to hear a truth that you will have visited last year, and all of a sudden the Lord will put his highlighter on it and it'll go bing. You'll think, gosh, that's it. And the Lord will say, yeah, remember when I spoke that to you? Then you did nothing with it. Let me pull that back out of the bag of your resources and bring it to the top, and you'll say, that's the answer I've been looking for. See, the kingdom of God is just not new truths that you go after. It's old truths being renewed. In fact, let's read this first scripture and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. And he said to them, the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as, yeah, he's likening that to the kingdom of heaven. See, the kingdom of heaven requires us not only to learn new truths, but old as well, and renew them. We need to be reminded of them. Otherwise, what'll happen? Let's read Hebrews 2:1. Ready? Go. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. He's saying if we're not reminded of these old truths, what is our tendency? We drift. We backslide. We move away from them. And we starve in a land of plenty. So God is saying, I'm going to remind you of these. Otherwise, we'll always be looking for new truths, a new spin, a new angle, a new illustration, a new insight. And we become what the Bible calls people that just want their ears tickled, but they're not applying the things that God has spoken to them. And it's not in any way embarrassing to be reminded, because we need to be reminded. How many of you would say, I need to be reminded often? Yeah, you're as old as I am. Yeah, we all need to be reminded of these things. Let's take a look what Peter says. Ready? Go. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of... What is Peter saying? As long as I'm alive, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. It's not necessarily new truths that we don't have that causes us to deflate or to be diluted. It's that we have not stirred up old truths that we should be applying. It's not embarrassing to be reminded. No, no. Allow the Lord to remind you. And it's not in any way wrong to be reminded. I recall a story of these two elderly, very elderly ladies. They were enjoying the sunshine on a park bench. And they'd been meeting at the park every sunny day for over 12 years now. They would meet chatting and enjoying each other's company. And one day, the younger of the two very elderly ladies, she turns to the other, the old one, and says, you know, please don't be angry with me, she said, but this is so embarrassing. After all these years, she said, what was your name again? Yeah, she said, you know, I'm trying to remember, but I just can't. Will you remind me? And the older lady, looking very distressed, just turns and stares at her for a really long time, and then tears well up in her eyes. And she slowly replies, how soon do you need to know? We all need to be reminded. Well, today we're going to be reminded. We're going to be reminded of the goal of all that we've been learning this whole last year. This is like a final exam. What's the goal of all that we've been learning? It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's read it out loud. Ready? Go. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. The goal of all our instruction, love from a pure heart, clear conscience, sincere faith. If you miss this, the Bible says, you'll stray to fruitless discussion. You see, I have a friend that once I was talking with him, and he said, you know, I turned in a paper in college, and there was a term paper at the end, and I got it back, and I was shocked at the grade, but it said this. It said, good content, very neat, excellent illustration, good references, F, underneath, wrong assignment. I wonder sometimes if we go through this life and the things that we should have learned, we get involved with, instead of that, we get involved in fruitless discussion. Or a life that's fruitless as far as eternity is concerned. So what is the bottom line of all that we're learning then? What is it? It says here, the goal of our instruction, number one, is, would you write in your notes, love from a pure heart. Would you write that in the bottom? Love from a pure heart. Now remember, he's not focusing on love. He's saying love that exudes from a what? a pure heart. That's the thing he wants us to look at. Because you say, you see, today, love has gotten a pretty bad rap. The word love is applied to everything from a sexual encounter to a fantasy to I love baseball, basketball, I love this, I love that, I love my wife, I love my dog. Everything is thrown into that cauldron. And that word love is used so widely that it's almost become diluted. Well, he's not talking about the love as much as he's talking about a certain quality of love that only comes when a heart is pure. That's what he's focusing on, the source. Here's the question basically that he's asking. Can people trust your heart? Can people trust your heart? Because that's what God looks at. Proverbs 21:2 says, God weighs your heart. Proverbs 17:3, God tests the heart. It's those things that come out of a heart that's pure that the Bible calls, a quality of love is called a first love. Often you'll find that when someone who just comes to know the Lord and he's so grateful for having been delivered from such a past, that everything he does is done in gratefulness. And God says that's the first love. But after a while, as time goes by, we keep the activities, but the love dilutes and changes. So now we're doing things, but we want more money. We want more this. We want more accolades. We want more applause. We want a little more encouragement, this or that. And so the activity remains the same or maybe even increases religiously, but the heart diminishes. That can happen in this church, any church. It happened in the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. On the opposite side of your notes, let's read what he says in Revelation chapter 2. Ready? Go. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and you found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. Stop. Now, all of those things that have gone on before are wonderful things. They're great. But lest the Lord give an F, because he says wrong assignment, he says you've forgotten one thing. Because if you miss this, you've missed it all. Let's read the last sentence. Ready? Go. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. You see, you can develop and I can develop a very religious lifestyle by and also at the same time leave the most important part behind. And that's a pure heart, that heart that produces that kind of first love. Now that word pure in the Greek is the word katharos. Now that's a word picture that's used for the threshing out of grain. That word pure is the word katharos. And it's a certain kind of grain where a grain that it has a husk around it. And what they do is they take a threshing wheel and they crack the husk, the callous part of it. They crack it open, and so they just roll this big threshing wheel over it. Then they take a basket or just this very low-lying basket, and when the wind blows, they throw it into the wind. The wind blows the lighter part of the chaff that has been broken off the grain, blows that away, and the grain itself falls back into the basket. They throw it up again into the wind. It blows the rest of the chaff away, or the husks that have been broken by the threshing wheel, and the grain itself falls back into the basket. They do that a few times, called winnowing, or threshing out the grain, and you winnow it. And once it's done, this is called a katharos grain, or pure grain. Grain that has been given to the threshing wheel to break off the husks. It's also used for an army where they take a group of men and they start filtering out those that are ill-equipped for war, those that are afraid to fight, those who have no skills, or those that are untrained or unconditioned for war, until they come down to a small cadre of the best fit and fighting green berets there are. And that is called the Katharos Army. Those that have been filtered out to the best of the best. And the Bible is saying that's the kind of heart that God is wanting us to develop. That's the goal of everything we learn. Because if we still shuck and jive, and if we still have all of the husk on us of the world, if we carry around with us stuff on the inside that needs to be taken or removed from that grain, then there's not a pure heart. There's not pure motives. We need to be willing to say at times, Lord, would you drive the threshing wheel right over here? Because you see, Lord, I've been bumping into some corners and some people recently, and it's caused me a callousness in my life, in my attitude. That which used to be a sense of mercy is now calloused over. And Lord, I need to have that broken. And would you winnow me, the wind of your Holy Spirit, to remove that far from me so that I'll have a katharos heart. God looks at the source of our heart because it's the source that's so important. If the source is bad, everything that flows out of there is bad. You go to 7-Eleven, you buy one of these bottled waters, and it says Evian, taken from the Evian Springs of France. Well, you know, because the source is good, the water's good, and you have trust because Evian water, pure. But what if it was filtered, but it said filtered water from Palolo Stream? I don't care if it's filtered 50 times. I ain't going to drink that stuff. Why? Because I know what I put in it as a little kid. That stuff is probably still in there. But you see, if the source is bad, it does not give credibility or credence to the result. When I was a youth pastor, I used to take our kids up to a place called Clark Creek in Oregon. And I spent about 10 years as a youth pastor up there in training. And we would take them to the state park that was very rustic indeed. It was up in the woods, and the cabins were just three-sided. And the bunks were made out of wood, and you'd have to bring your own sleeping bags. And there was no running water. The only source for water in this camp was this a stream, Clark Creek. And it was fed by an artesian spring way up in the woods. Now, we would just go ahead and take scoops of water, and there we would make soup and juice and everything right out of the creek because it was pretty clean. Now, because it was a state park, however, the ranger each week would come up, and with a little chemical in his little vial or a little test tube, he would scoop up some of the water and shake it and then check for the bacteria content to make sure that it was safe to drink. Well, one day after we'd been at camp for a couple of days, he came up and dressed in his ranger uniform, said, I'm going to check your water. Great, go ahead. So he went into the creek and shook his little test tube, and he said, whoa, stop drinking the water. And I said, could you tell me why? Because we have been for the last 2 days. He said, well, stop right now. Don't drink anymore. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Are we going to die or what? He said, I don't think so, but don't drink the water. Let me check. So he put on some rubber boots, and he said, I'll be back. So he hikes up to the headwaters, or the source of where this creek was coming from. About 2 hours later, he came back down and said, okay, you can drink the water now. In about 2 or 3 hours, you can drink the water. So let it clear out. I said, whoa, tell me some more. I said, why was the bacteria content so high? He said, oh, well, there. I found a right there in the spring itself. A deer had died and fallen into the spring. And its body was decomposing, and so it was running through and taking out the bacteria. I about threw up on his uniform. But he said, I took it out and buried it, so it should be fine now. I thought, oh, gross. But that's the same thing that God is saying is true in our hearts. You see, the final exam is this. You can learn and learn and learn religious stuff, good stuff, whatever it might be. But if it goes to your head alone, it only makes you religious. It is not until you drop it into your heart, and their heart is pure, and you allow it to affect your heart and clean your heart, it is only then that it might appear. Now, it makes you religious. Down here, it makes you genuine. And the genuineness of our lives doesn't happen until it causes there to be a pure heart from which our love flows. The exam is this. The goal of our instruction, all we've been learning, is it causing a pure heart to take place, to be developed? Or are there dead carcasses that we're carrying around still in our hearts that taints and affects everything that we say and do? Are there decomposing kinds of relationships on the inside that we should have taken care of? Maybe you need to bury the hatchet. If you do, get it out of your heart and bury it so that that thing is done with. And the Lord will say, clean, nice, neat, good references, F, wrong assignment. You missed the goal of your instruction, which is to produce love from a what? A pure heart, a pure heart. So there will be times you'll need to say, Lord, would you drive that threshing wheel right through here? How do you check your heart? Well, I do it by taking a little test tube into my heart and I shake it and I take a look and see the level of skepticism in my life. How skeptical am I? Am I beginning to just see problems more than answers? Do I spend my energy focusing on what went wrong and how sad I am because of that thing going wrong? Or do I harness my energy and look to the future to see the new things God may have for me? How to resolve it? Put that energy into the answer. I have a little motto in my life. I will put only 20% of my energy to the problem. I'm going to put 80% of my energy to the resolution of that problem. Otherwise, you focus on the problem for weeks and months, and you're reminded of it again and again. And you have no energy left to resolve it. A lot of times in counseling, I see that all of the energy is put on the problem, focusing on the problem in a couple's life, and very little on resolving it. They don't want to put any energy into resolving the problem. That's why they never do. So it's just a big problem. It's an impasse. I check my heart. Am I a skeptic? Am I looking at people and seeing problems? Do I get tired of problems? People call, ring, 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 oh, another problem. Someone wants to see you, Wayne, oh, another problem. Am I starting to become more skeptical? So I check the level of skepticism. Or am I someone who still says, that's great, because God is doing some work here. God's about to do something great. Am I seeing the evidences of God's absence, or am I seeing the evidences of God's presence in people's lives? Do I see their potential, or do I see their problems? Do I see their good points, or am I starting to see their bad points? What's the level of skepticism? But if your heart is pure, you'll see more the optimistic side. Well, how do you get that? Matthew 5:8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. Problems? Skepticism? Criticism? No. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they'll see God. When they look around, they start to see the evidences of God's presence everywhere. That only happens when your heart is being purified, that katharos heart that's constantly being winnowed. The threshing wheel is going over, cracking the husks that seem to build the callousness. So one is I check the level of skepticism, and the other is I check the level of change. Am I changing, or am I still struggling over the same things I struggled over last year? Am I tripping over the same things that I tripped over last year? The stuff that used to be such a problem to me last year, when I'm so mad at my wife for this or mad at my kids for that, and I remember the rage that would burn within me. Is that still going on now? You see, if my heart is being purified and I'm reading God's word, the Bible, and God's threshing out the grain, as it were, inside of me, then I'll be changing, not just learning more religious principles. It'll be sinking into my heart and changing. If you'll pick up a journal, you'll notice at the bottom of every page in which you journal, we've stamped this little thing. I wrote a little sentence that says this, how will I live differently today because of what I've just read? See, if my level of change is poor and I'm just getting more religious, then I've missed the whole exam. Because the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Final Exam by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the Life Journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Please listen again and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.